Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, Text Number 40. Shri Brahma Vacha Anatosmra Yantaya Durantisaktaye Vichitra Viryaya Pavitra Karmane Vishvasya sarga sthiti samyamangunai Svalilaya sandade vyayayatmane Sri Brahma Vacha. Lord Brahma said, Nanda, bow down. Asmi, I am Anantaya, unto the unlimited Lord. Duranta, very difficult to find an end to. Saktaye, who possesses different potencies. Vichitra Viraya, having varieties of prowess. Pivitra Karmane, whose actions have no reaction, even though doing contrary things. He remains without contamination by the material modes. Vishvasya, of the universe. Sarga, creation. Stiti, maintenance. Samyamana, Samyaman, and annihilation. Gunai, by the material qualities. Svalilaya, very easily. Sandade, Sandadate, performs. Avyaya Atmane, whose personality never deteriorates. Lord Brahma prayed, my Lord, you are unlimited, and you possess unlimited, unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it. Yet you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. The activities of the Lord are always wonderful. His personal servants, Jaya and Vijaya, were confidential friends, yet they were cursed, and they accepted bodies of demons. Again, in the family of one such demon, Prahlad Maharaj was caused to take birth to exhibit the behavior of an exalted devotee. And then the Lord accepted the body of Narsingadev to kill the same demon, who by the Lord's own will had taken birth in a demoniac family. Therefore, who can understand the Lord's transcendental activities? Not to speak of understanding the transcendental activities of the Lord, no one can understand even the activities of his servants. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Tandra Vakya Kriya Mudra Vigeha Nabhutaya. No one can understand the activities of the Lord's servants. Therefore, what to speak of the activities of the Lord, who can understand how Krishna is benefiting the entire world? The Lord is addressed as Dura Shakti, Duranta Shakti, because no one can understand his potencies and how he acts. So the text again. Shri Brahma Varcha Nantosmi Yata Nanta Duranta Saktaye Vichitra Virya Pavitra Karmane Vishvasya Sangha Sarga Stiti Samyaman Gunai Svalilaya Sandate Vyayayatmane. Lord Brahma prayed, oh my Lord, you are unlimited and you possess unlimited, unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful influence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it again, annihilate it. Yet you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Many devotees say the same thing. If we hear the prayers of the Nagapatis, the prayers of Lord Shiva, prayers of Dhruva Maharaj, they all say the same thing. So we may wonder, is this plagiarism, or they have nothing interesting to say, they just repeat the same thing over and over again. Well, the difference is, if we say it, it's without realization. And when they say it, the realization is quite extensive. To understand how someone is unlimited, if you realize it, just like when Mother De Soto looked into the mouth of Krishna twice in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and both times she saw all the universe within his mouth. Now, if we could look inside Krishna's mouth and see all the universe, we'd be impressed beyond our imagination. But when we just hear about it, we're not so impressed because we have no such imagination. For us, it may be something like licking on the bottle of the honey. The honey is inside, but there's a bottle that's containing it. And if we lick the bottle, we may not taste, we won't taste the honey, we'll just taste the bottle. Although it apparently, the honey is right there. Similarly, when we hear about these things, if our hearts don't throb in ecstasy and wonder, it means that we're covered by the illusory energy, and therefore we can't really understand what's taking place. A little bit more than, say, an animal. If they hear it, they'll just, maybe the dog will wag his tail if he's lucky. Or maybe he'll growl if he's not so pious. But the dog won't understand what's taking place. Similarly, to understand how Krishna is unlimited, we just have to use our tiny little brains and try to understand how Krishna is unlimited, how Krishna is existing even in this room, if we can accept it. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. It's chaksha esha, It's chaksha esha savitasa kalagrahanam. Actually, that's that. Yasyantaya paramat paramat pumanyo. That Krishna, yes, how does that Brahma Samhita verse go? Yasyantaya paramat paramat pumanyo. Govindam adi purushang tamahang bhujami. A kopyaso rachitum jagaranda kotim. Luckily, this is Super Soul, can remind us. A kopyaso rachitum jagaranda kotim. Yes chaksha esa savitasaka. Yes chaksha esa. Yes. A kopyaso rachitum jagaranda kotim. And then the next one is. Yes yang. A kopyaso rachitum jagaranda kotim. So that Krishna is existing. In every atom of the universe. So just imagine someone existing in every atom in this room. Just think about that for a little while. How many atoms are in this little tiny room we're in? And if someone is existing, well, he's completely aware of everything that had happened to every atom in this room in the past, present, and what will happen in the future. Can we actually accept that? There could be such a person. And what to speak of, say, in this both buildings? What about in Slovenia? What about in Europe? What about on this planet, whatever it may be? And what about in Bhumandala? What about in this tiny universe, which is just one little mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds? What about in all the other mustard seeds? With Brahma's having 1 million, 10 million heads. He's in every atom, knows past, present, future. What about in the entire material creation? What about the Brahma Jyoti? What about the spiritual worlds, which are unlimited? All the planets and all the universes could actually fit into one Vaikuntha planet. And there are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, and they could all fit into the Goloka Vrindavan. What about Goloka Vrindavan? So if we think we've understood something, we probably have to read a little bit more. So there's a difference between just theoretically hearing it, and even trying to accept it theoretically, because that to accept it theoretically requires some meditation, some explanation. Otherwise, we just think, yes, Krishna is like that. Sure, right. Okay. Anything else about him that you'd like to tell us? So Brahma is giving his prayers, but we understand that it's probably with some realization behind it. And therefore, he's in ecstasy, in awe of Krishna's great opulence. And if we don't feel that awe, we don't feel anything, it's because we're not really understanding, or first of all, we're not hearing properly. We're not understanding it very deeply. And we're not working on the basis of that. When Brahma goes back to his planet, he doesn't think, well, in my planet, Krishna is not, he's not here. He's everywhere except for my planet. And therefore, I can do what I want here. I offered my prayers to him. I'm sure he was happy. I came back here, and now I can act any way I want. No, he's only understood Krishna's greatness and had the opportunity to associate with Krishna as Brahma. He only got the post of Brahma because after many 100 years of strictly following the Varnashram, he was able to obtain the post of Brahma. And in that post of Brahma, before even the creation, Krishna spoke to him within the heart and gave him revealed the entire plans for the creation of the universe. So that was quite impressive to Brahma, that someone knew how to create an entire universe. So he appreciated Krishna because of his revealing within his heart something which is inconceivable. And then when he created the universe, secondary creator, he appreciated that Krishna knew what he was talking about. It worked out pretty well, the universe, better than he probably expected. And Brahma, of course, after being Brahma, Brahma lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years. And every day Brahma, which is mere 4,300,000,000 years, he has all kinds of experiences with Krishna's incarnations and sees the tortoise holding up Mount Mandara. He sees the demigods and the demons churning the ocean of milk. He sees Parasaram coming. He sees, and every day of Brahma, he sees it. So therefore, he's pretty impressed with Krishna. And we're simply trying to worship the deities and chant Hare Krishna. And maybe if we become a little bit aware or accepting a little bit, at least theoretically, that Krishna might be everywhere and everything belongs to him, and that I should simply work as his instrument, Krishna might reveal something to us, and that will be quite impressive to us, whatever little Krishna will reveal to us. Then we can begin the path of awe and reverence, at least. But most people are impatient. They read the books and they think, well, these are all exaggerations. And even if they're not, they're pretty boring. You know, so what if someone's in every atom of the universe? Big deal. I'd rather see Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. That might be a little bit more interesting. Let me, get free from this seventh canto, ghastly, makes me wonder about God ripping people apart, uprooting their heart and throwing it away. I mean, that's not the God I want to worship. Let me jump to the 10th canto and Krishna in the bushes with the gopis. That's the God I like. But avajanti mamuda manushim tanum ashritya parambhava majanatoma mabhuta maheshwaram. The fools, they deride at my descending in this human form. They don't know my transcendental nature, my supreme dominion over all that be. So, at least Krishna is not so impressed by that understanding of himself. That without understanding Krishna's opulence, Krishna's all-pervading nature, Krishna's energies, that one cannot actually appreciate Krishna. Nor one will work in this material world in such a way is that Krishna is going to reveal himself. Because we'll take Krishna as an ordinary person. Why should he reveal himself and spoil our imagination that we're a competitor for Krishna here? Therefore, in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that it's actually much more valuable for a conditioned soul to hear about Krishna's creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the universe than to hear about Krishna's internal pastimes in the internal energy. It's much more valuable for the soul to hear these things. Because if we hear these things, then we can stop trying to exploit the material nature, we can stop imagining ourselves as the controllers and the enjoyers, and we can make some actual progress in devotional service. Other than that, we'll simply be thinking Krishna is out there somewhere, and somewhere something's happening out there. It's all kind of vague, and Krishna might be here, it might not be here, but I got a lot of things to do here. I could remember him, I could forget him. There's no big deal. If I remember him, I get some extra points. If I forget him, that's normal. Everyone forgets him. Don't criticize me. I'm doing pretty good. I came to Mangala Arati today. I deserve an extra half an hour of sleep today for that. So with that kind of attitude, then we want to understand how the material nature is working, how it's binding us, how to get free from it, how Krishna is in control of it, how just by asking Krishna to engage in his service, loving service, we can actually get free from the modes of nature. If we can take the holy name seriously, we can take the philosophy seriously, then we can actually take our devotional service seriously. And then we can actually make some genuine advancement in it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, regarding the position of Lord Brahma, if I understood properly, it is said that when living being comes from spiritual world, it takes position of the Lord Brahma and then degrades into the lower. If I understood properly, and
Lord Brahma or a powerful demigod, says in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay. Yes, and as you mentioned, Lord Brahma is a witness of so many pastimes and qualities and powers of Lord Krishna in one day, thousands and thousands experiences. How come that it degrades himself lower if it doesn't just jump back to the spiritual world?
Well, think about it. We came here to compete. Lord Brahma is sitting on top of the lotus flower. He's practically omniscient. He has all kinds of powers. All the demigods worship him. So, just like when Krishna came, he lifted, he killed Agrasura, and Brahma had heard that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he wanted to test him. He came and stole all his cowherd boys. So he witnessed Krishna's impressive activities. Killing Agasura was certainly impressive. The demigods were certainly in awe. But Lord Brahma was thinking, well, let me test the guy, see what he's like. So that's the nature of illusion. Brahma, he's the topmost person in the universe, but the universe is, according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he's not the topmost person in the whole universe, because in the coverings of the universe, there are other persons even more exalted than Brahma. So here is a field of activities. I don't know what they do in the earth covering or the water covering, but they worship different deities there, as explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But our Brahma can be a Jnani Brahma, could be a Karmi Brahma, could be a Bhakta Brahma. If he's not a pure Bhakta, because according to the Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma is following sadhana. He's a sadhana bhakta. He's following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, although the best one. But if he doesn't take it seriously, if he wants fruit of activity, if he wants to get some liberation, let's say Gop Kumar wanted to find out about liberation as Brahma, or he wants some kind of enjoy his position as Brahma, as a karmi Brahma, Then he goes up at the time of annihilation to Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then during the annihilation he stays there. But then when the creation starts again, he comes back here, not necessarily as Brahma, if he did something wrong. It's not from his position. It's not so difficult to do something wrong. You make a little mistake, you get into a lot of trouble, especially if you don't, like Lord Brahma, repent for it immediately.
So it's not always that parampara from Krishna doesn't always go through Lord Brahma if it's not pure devotee, as Adi Guru of Sampradaya, right?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, Brahma, when he spoke to Narada Muni, he was probably still on the stage of Sadhana Bhakti. Besides that, there's so many Brahmas that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're unlimited, and just a few of them are mentioned. But how they disciplinary succession means you repeat what you've heard. Whether Brahma was good enough, as Prabhupada once wrote in a letter, he was good enough. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.